Can everybody hear me? So we have our new sound system in place. I was a little disappointed that the gospel was not on the healing of the deaf. Because we have a lot of people in a congregation who have not been able to hear. And so you can see we have speakers all around, and these are going to be painted the same color as the wall, so they don't stand out so much. But I'm so happy that we can all hear, so now we can all be one. And that is, and the truth is that we are one. It's the truth is that we don't live into that oneness because we're not present to it. And John, I it really kind of gives you vertigo when you listen to some of the texts in the Gospel of John, because it just seems to go in circles, kind of a repetitive way of speaking. And I think there's intentionality in that. It's really wanting to deepen in us. John is not a linear gospel, like the synoptics, which seem to go in chronological time. John is very different. It's very much a circular gospel. There have even been theologians who say that it has a chiastic structure, that it starts from the center of a circle and goes out in the days of the creation. It's absolutely fascinating how everything connects in oneness. And oneness is really a spiritual perspective. It is a way of seeing with faith. I think when we were growing up, we were always taught, you know, that little saying of the person standing down below and somebody standing on the second story and the building's on fire saying, jump and I'll catch you, as though that's faith. And that's not really what faith is. Faith is the ability to see the bigger picture. Even when in our own limited chronological time, we are able to see. I've shared with you before, I think, a story and experience that I had in Israel, in the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth. And it is an incredible church, if you've ever. It's two stories, a two-story nave, if you can imagine. There's a bottom floor and a top floor. And on the bottom floor is the cave where legend has it that Mary received the Annunciation. And they've turned that into an amphitheater where one can celebrate Mass there. And directly above that amphitheater is an opening in the second floor. So if you're standing on the second floor, you can look down on the amphitheater. And then on the second floor, all along the walls are pictures of the Madonna and Child from every culture in the world, of how they would portray her. And then in front of you are three chancels. There's the central chancel, the larger one, and then two side chancels. So a chancel is this area here. So there's three of those. And when I was there, there was a Eucharist being celebrated in Spanish below me in the amphitheater. And in front of me, one in Arabic, one in German, and one in Hebrew, all going on simultaneously. And I had this amazing experience of oneness, that there is only one Eucharist being celebrated, not all these separate ones, you know, because we see things in our own little world as separate from this and that, but in truth, they were all one. There was only one Eucharist that was unfolding. It's like light shining through a prism, which creates, you know, fractions, and you have all of these different colors of light. Doesn't mean that they're different sources of light. There's only one source of light. And so we live our lives in linear time. And we kind of think that this is all that's happening. But in truth, there's all of these people around me living their lives, but we're not seeing the intersectionality of things. You know, intersectionality is the study of when we meet people that we think are different. Perhaps a person of color and a white person, and we think, oh, we don't have anything in common. But then you might find that both of these guys like fishing or this or that. One's, and they're both fathers. And we begin to make all of these connections. What appears to be separate on the surface is deeply connected in our humanity. So we have to, this whole way of seeing spiritually is kind of the bird's eye view, to be watching things unfolding, as in Cynthia Bourgeau calls it, in a spherical way. Because we're so used to doing things in a linear way, but living by faith means that we're being able to see things in a spherical way. It's just like the poem, The Four Quartets of T.S. Eliot. The beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. And very much only can that be true in a circle. Only can that be true in a circle, that the beginning touches the end. In the Gospel of Thomas, there's a logion that Jesus says, a man in old days will not hasten to ask a little child of 7 days about the place of life, and he will live. For many who are first shall become last, and they shall become a single one. When what is first becomes last, united, they become a single whole. Both an infant and an elderly person are vulnerable. They're connected in their vulnerability, connected much more deeply with a source. One going there, one having just arrived. They're not separate. But in our bifurcated mind, everything is compartmentalized. And I think it gives us a great deal of hope when we can begin to see from the spherical point of view rather than the linear. It's when we're stuck in linear time that things seem hopeless. Because in Kairos time, there is no past, there is no future. It's all one. It's connected. It's more like an arc of time. On the linear scale, it connects the past with the present and the present with the future. In the cloud of unknowing, which is the manual, it's a 13th century manual written by an anonymous monk teaching them how to pray the prayer of quiet, which in modern day is called centering prayer. And he talks about that in this kind of prayer, you are connected with all those in the past. You are not separate. So you have the ability to change the past in the present. And when we begin to understand that, we can step out of despair and hopelessness, because we realize we're not just on linear time. We're in God's time, which is spherical, and it is all-encompassing. Cynthia Bourgeois shares a story. She said her daughter was going to meet her new boyfriend, and they were deeply in love. And she lived on an island off the coast of Maine. And so she put her daughter on the ferry, and she goes across to the other little island. And she said she went up on the bluff, and as she watched the ferry arrive, she saw her daughter's boyfriend's car, coming this way. So she was seeing the meeting of these two people in linear time from a spherical place. And she said, in my heart, I could see my daughter moving to the front of the ferry so she could be the first person off to go meet her love. See, we get so stuck in our linear time. And that makes it about me, rather than about us and rather than about God. It's a dismal place to be. And it is not a place of faith. Faith means that we are able to step out of linear time into Kairos time, which is vertical, and we can evolve in that vertical time to a place of seeing from oneness. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the way one does that is in prayer to bring the mind down into the heart, so that the heart and the mind are entrained together. And trust me, if everyone could see from that perspective, we would not hurt one another. We would do no harm to others. But because we're living simply on the horizontal plane and not standing above that, where we are seeing from God's perspective rather than a limited human perspective, we hurt one another because we make it about us. And so Jesus, in his time, in his last discourse praying to God is, God, may they be one as you and I are one. May they be, you understand, may they realize this oneness with you so that they are not stuck in this bifurcated way of seeing, this world of dualism is the modern term for that. But the dualistic world is very limited. It's in the world of oneness that everything unfolds. And the truth is, the world of oneness unfolds in the present moment, but we miss it because we're everywhere but in the present moment. We're either thinking about the past or worrying about the future. And in those places, we cannot participate in Kairos time. We can't participate in that oneness. It's not about achieving oneness. It's about coming into awareness of oneness. You know, I read the four quartets last night, and there's a piece I want to read in it from T.S. Eliot. And he talks about, you know, in the beginning is the end and the end is the beginning. But in between, he talks about how we all go into darkness. We all go into darkness. And it's in darkness that we are all one. He says, oh, dark, dark, they all go into the dark. The vacant interstellar spaces, the vacant into the vacant. The captains, the merchant bankers, the imminent, can't see this here, the imminent men of letters, the generous patrons of art, the statesmen and the rulers, distinguished civil servants, chairmen of many committees, industrial lords and petty contractors, all go into the dark. And dark the sun and moon and the almanac of Goethe and the Stock Exchange Gazette, the directory of directors, and cold the sense. They all go in to the dark. And there's something amazing about putting it in these terms. He says we all go with them into the silent funeral. Nobody's funeral, for there is no one to bury. I said to my soul, be still and let the dark come upon you, which shall be the darkness of God. As in a theater, the lights are extinguished for the scene to be changed with the hollow rumble of wings, with a movement of darkness on darkness, and we know that the hills and the trees, the distant panorama and the bold imposing facade are all being rolled away. You see, what we get so afraid about right now with those in power, and we feel helpless and that we have no say, they all go in to the darkness. And there shall be an end to it. They all go into the darkness, into the oneness. Because the reason we set up these facades of identification is because we take ourselves as separate from God. We take on a completely separate identity and we identify with power or control or, you know, you name it, money. We find something to be our facade. But in the oneness, there is no hiding. There is no hiding in oneness, because the oneness is in the darkness. And all things come together. There is no separation. It is pure illusion. And so when we are tempted with despair over what is happening in the world, and it doesn't mean that we don't take action, but we need to ask ourselves, am I stuck in linear time? Am I making this about me personally? And certainly it affects us personally. But giving into despair is saying that I am separate. It's saying I am not of God. I'm separate. Giving into hope, which is not about outcome, it's about that rounded Kairos time, knowing that everything is connected, is trusting that something greater is going to unfold. Something I cannot see in my linear time, but something greater is at work. And when you and I can begin to make that shift and to live into it, and the best way to make that shift is to spend time in prayer. Not telling God what to do, but sitting and listening to God, then we began to receive the transmission of that oneness, the awareness of that oneness. As a Christian community, that is what you and I are called to do. And the central focus of our worship is the one cup and the one host, which represents the presence of Christ, the oneness of the presence of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever. Or whatever they think or say, it's still all one. You know, that separate identification is the greatest ailment of humanity. That's what gets us into trouble over and over and over again. So Jesus, in his last prayer for us on this earth, may they all be one, as you and I are one. And that is what God yearns for all of us, that we can be set free from only seeing in a single dimension, but to see in a much greater dimension, in a spherical, spatial way. And it is possible. And many of us have had moments of it. May just be watching a sunset or looking at an infant for the first time who's newly arrived, who hasn't had time to develop separateness. We have those small experiences. Deepen into them, because that is our salvation. That is true salvation when it changes the way we perceive. That's what Jesus came to set us free from, was making it all about me. And looking at the bigger picture, because when we can live into that, everything changes. Everything changes. And when you change, everything around you begins to change. And the more individuals that change in their perspective, the whole world will begin to change. That's what many call Christ consciousness. The second coming of Christ, the awakening of pure consciousness in humanity, the ability to see beyond me. That's true faith. May they all be one as you and I are one. Amen.